listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We do have a little bit of optimism, a little bit of good news, and a time to where so many people out there want to stand around the corner when you want to get excited about something, and we all want to get some, you know, have something to look forward to. There's usually a grim reaper around the corner who wants to remind people of how miserable everything is. But we do have a glimmer of hope. According to a report from The Athletic, Orlando's Walt Disney World Resort is on track to win the bid to become the NBA's playing site when they do resume the season, and there's hope of games potentially tipping off by mid-July. Again, that according to The Athletic. Steve Fezzik, the NBA in Orlando, what say you?
You know, I like it. I like the whole idea of the NBA starting up sooner rather than later. I don't know why it would take till middle of July. And here's why, Jonas. I think the NBA is uniquely qualified right now to go ahead and start their season again. And why? Their season's almost over. And because of that, the idea of putting players in one host city or at most two host cities, be it Orlando, be it Las Vegas, and only have them have to play for 6 to 7 weeks. And let's face it, many of these teams only going to be playing for less than a month. I think that that is a situation that the players should embrace and welcome. And it just doesn't have the logistical problems that other sports would have with travel.
Yeah, and I think when you see how much money could potentially be lost if the NBA doesn't have a playoffs, and one of the numbers that was thrown out there was $900 million, that there's a potential loss of $900 million if the NBA doesn't have a postseason with the TV contracts and everything that's out there. I think it's becoming more and more clear when you see other sports around the country want to put on events. And you, I know people don't like to give this guy credit, but I'm going to give him credit. Vince McMahon, look, the WWE continued forward. They had a WrestleMania, which lasted over a weekend. They turned it into a two-day event. It wasn't optimal. It wasn't ideal based on what their grand plans were and taking over Raymond James Stadium, but they went through with it. You've seen the UFC. You see NASCAR coming up later tonight. So it makes you wonder, now that you see the NBA really starting to make plans to move forward, are they actually leading the charge for other major sports, and are other major sports going to follow along, Steve Fezzik?
I believe they will. And one thing I really like about the NBA, no one is going to question that they care about player safety. Let's face it, the NBA led the way in shutting down when COVID was first hitting. Now, Rudy Gobert, what was that, March 12th?
Yeah.
As the positive test. That very night, the NBA suspended operations. So they clearly were on the cutting edge in terms of being proactive about what to do with this. And I have every expectation that they will be proactive about how best to bring sports back, major sports, team sports, safely for all of us to watch.
By the way, I love how that turned into, God, we're not sure if Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert could ever coexist again, because Donovan Mitchell he can't believe how reckless Rudy Gobert was. Hold on a second. How do we know Donovan Mitchell didn't give it to Rudy Gobert? How do we know it wasn't vice versa there? So that whole story that came out, I thought was a bunch of crap. I thought it went way over the top, and it just fed into the NBA's typical, we need off-court drama because the on-court product has been lacking at times over the past 18 months. But I digress on that garbage story over to this story. And by the way, we will call out Steve Fezzik, who tried to shoehorn in his own personal interests into the NBA's return. I identified it, and we will get to that here coming up in a couple of minutes here on Fox Sports Radio. But Fez, from a betting standpoint, from looking at this and you seeing, and you mentioned the number of teams that are going to continue to play and jumping right into the playoffs is what it looks like the NBA's plan is. Is there a team that's got an advantage? Is there a team at this point that you look at and go, I like them moving forward if they go through with this, and if it is Orlando and games are tipping off by mid-July, there's an NBA team that I like to go and win it all?
Well, what's fascinating in terms of the odds in the NBA, we've been shut down for over 2 months, Jonas, and there has not been any movement in terms of what the future odds are in with these NBA teams. The odds as they were back in March are what they are currently in terms, at least at the top. The Lakers are the number one favorite. They're plus 225 to win the title. Milwaukee Bucks plus 250. Clippers at 3-1, then Boston 12-1, Houston 16-1. And I got to be honest, I think this is a case where you can say that the teams that those top teams that have a legitimate chance of winning the title are the teams that could well be the most focused coming out of this break. Because let's face it, how into this are the Utah Jazz really going to be? Or if you see the Nets making the playoffs, probably not nearly as focused as the Clippers or the Lakers. We might see some very disparate results here in the playoffs.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you, because if I'm recalling correctly, back in 94, it was either 94 or 99, I think the Knicks made the finals as an 8 seed. And people looked at that as being a byproduct of there being a shortened season. So the Knicks made the finals. So it was 99. The Knicks made the finals as an 8 seed and lost to the Spurs. And that was a shortened season. I believe that season was 50 games. So I'm wondering if the fact that the odds haven't really changed, is it because Vegas, professional bettors, amateur bettors, atrocious bettors like myself don't really know what to make of the what the NBA is going to look like when we come back? Because, Fez, we've never seen anything like this. The league has never just shut down in the middle of the season because of a pandemic. So maybe they're just playing it safe and continuing on with whoever is the favorite at this point, because they have no idea what these teams and these players are going to look like when they return.
Oh, I think you nailed it. We really don't know. And so think about certain players from prior years. What's Draymond Green's conditioning going to be if Golden State had actually been a contender after 2 months off? And only 18 teams have just reopened their facilities. As players start to appear and we start to see how they've taken care of themselves without any facilities, I think there will be some stories that will come out and clear. There will be some movement based upon teams whose players have obviously stayed in shape versus other teams that are just playing out the string.
And if it's kind of a crapshoot, wouldn't you maybe take a chance and bet a team that wasn't one of the top two favorites? Maybe a team sort of on the back end, because maybe it's worth a shot. Maybe you're going to get a team, like if it's the Celtics, who's a younger team with a younger roster, maybe their legs bounce back other than some of these other veteran teams, like a Clipper team or a Laker team. Like maybe you like Milwaukee even more at this point, because they're not as old of a roster as maybe the Lakers are. I just wonder if there's some value in some of these teams that aren't near the top based on it being kind of a crapshoot and just sort of a different look and a different league and a different playoff format when it returns.
Yeah, you think about Michael Jordan and how when he came back after a layoff, obviously he had turned his body into a baseball body, but he was rusty. LeBron has said, you know, it's important for him to keep playing to be ready. I got to question the Clippers. You know, here's a squad that's really just starting to gel and come together with all the new players. And is this layoff going to hurt the Clippers' chances to win a title?
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This was a hot topic last week, and so far we're still waiting to hear what the plan is for Major League Baseball moving forward. Is MLB going to come back? Is MLB going to have a season? Can they agree to the terms that were renegotiated or the attempted renegotiation by Major League Baseball and their owners? But you actually think Major League Baseball has got some challenges here to where it's not going to be as easy as people assume.
Exactly. And the reason is MLB's got to go 4 months, and they're not just going to host this in a host city. So teams are going to play in their cities. There's going to be regional travel, so players are going to have to get on planes. And so because of that, it's going to make it more complicated in terms of, think about testing, Jonas. How easy is that if you just have one host city and all the players get tested and they can get tested within that city? And obviously the dangers of getting on a plane and the exposure associated with that, those are going to be unique challenges MLB will have that NBA will not have.
Yeah, and I also wonder, you know, just from if fans aren't going to be in attendance, and if that's the case, then outside of just wanting to be closer to home, what's the point of playing in home stadiums if there's not going to be fans there anyways? Why wouldn't you just have two sites? Why wouldn't you just have Florida and Arizona and basically turn, you know, the Cactus League and the whatever they call it, the Palm Tree League, whatever it is in Florida? Why wouldn't you just turn those two into your de facto seasons to where you don't really, yeah, grapefruit, pineapple, papaya, who cares, whatever it is. But why wouldn't you just turn those two locations into where these teams would play? And if it meant you would just play the teams that were based out of Arizona and the teams that were based out of the Kiwi League in Florida, then why wouldn't you just go that route? Like, if fans aren't going to be in attendance, what's the point of going to all these different home stadiums?
It's the length of the season that's the problem. The players are balking at being away from their families during a tumultuous time. And it's one thing for NBA players to be away for anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. It's another thing to ask players to be away for months upon a time. I don't think that that's a viable solution. And frankly, how many indoor facilities are there to play baseball in Arizona in June? I don't think that those are good solutions.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, nobody's going to have it ideal. I mean, nobody's going to have it exactly the way that they want it. And so when the conversation then transitions over to how does it get resolved, me personally, I think the fear for Major League Baseball players, and I think the Players Association, is this. They don't want to set a precedent that if the owners come back to them and renegotiate a renegotiation, that owners can then take that approach in discussions and conversations later on down the road. If I were a Major League Baseball player, I would take whatever the pay cut is and I would continue on with my season. I would have no issues going back and returning. I would have no concerns. I wouldn't be scared. I would go back and I would play the games. But I get why players feel that the way they feel. Players, some people are more concerned about what's happening and some people aren't. I just saw a guy at the supermarket who was wearing a welder's mask. Some people have lost their minds. So the idea, and I'm not even making that up. Some people have just really taken this serious and had it turn into paranoia. And we can sit here and we can laugh at them or we can judge them, but people feel it the way that they feel. So if a player doesn't feel comfortable, I get where they're coming from. I just think the both sides have got to look at this and realize this is a one-off situation, and whatever we decide on or agree to now isn't going to be reflected in later discussions. But I think the players are fearful they're going to set a precedent and that might pop up down the road.
I think it's critical that the players and MLB can come to some sort of agreement. So if I'm a professional baseball player and I was going to make $10 million, I get it. Back in March, I agreed to get a pro rata salary. I'm only going to play half the games. I'm only going to get paid $5 million. Now the owners are telling me, hey, we're going for a revenue sharing, and there's likely not going to be any fans. So instead of making $5 million, they want me to take a reduction, say, all the way down to $3 million. Now, I think there's a happy medium somewhere between that the players and MLB have to come to, because let's face it, Jonas, the popularity of baseball has gone down in recent times. Football is America's passion, and I think NBA has become number two. So with MLB declining in popularity, if these guys can't come to an agreement and somehow don't play this year, I think the long-standing issues associated with it will create lower salaries down the road, because everyone is going to remember when we're starved for sports entertainment. If baseball can't make it work here in 2020, there may not be, well, there won't be as many fans in 2021.
Let me ask you this before we get to Dan Beyer with the latest from around the world of sports. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned the popularity of baseball, and I would agree with you, because I think their biggest issue is, and the biggest gripe is, well, you know, if so-and-so walked down a mall, if it was Mike Trout or Christian Yelich, you know, nobody would know who he is, because, you know, baseball doesn't really promote their stars the way other sports do. From a betting standpoint, where does baseball rank as far as most bet amongst all sports? That includes college sports, college basketball, college football. Where would you put baseball in order of most interest from a betting standpoint in comparison to other sports?
Oh, very much far down. And remember, baseball is 162 games compared to the NFL where there's only 16.
Right.
So despite there being 10 times as many baseball games, Vegas profits in the sports books are driven by the NFL, not MLB. Basically, MLB is there in the summer so that you can make enough money to cover your expenses. It is anything but a cash cow for Vegas.
And that's even a more damning, that's even more of an indictment of baseball. You've got 162 opportunities each team to bet on, and they're that far down the rung. So if we're talking, I mean, NFL's one, college football two, like what would be the order of the sports before you got to baseball? How far down would you go?
NFL, then college football, clearly two. March Madness, it would be three, that 3 week period, just taking all kinds of volume, and then NBA would be number four.
And then you would get to baseball at number five.
Yes.
That's crazy. So March Madness, a 3 week tournament in essence, does more handle than an entire baseball season.
Put it on the bucket list. If you've never been to
crazy.
Vegas during March Madness, the first weekend, get out here. It is truly an experience.
That's crazy.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So, Steve Fezzik, you are our NFL betting expert. You have identified four NFL teams that you think could start off the season slowly. Who are they?
Yeah, NFL teams in transition, Jonas. So these are teams with brand new head coaches and new coordinators. I've ranked these one through four in terms of the teams I think are going to start slower than expectations are being dealt for them. In this order, number four, Cleveland Browns. So they bring in Stefanski, new head coach. They have Alex Van Pelt and Joe Woods as their coordinators. The reason Cleveland's number four on my list, they got rid of Freddie Kitchens, so it's going to be very difficult for all these teams with brand new coaches, without any OTAs, without any practices, or with limited practices until August. But if there's one team on my list that maybe can overcome this, it would be the Browns, because let's face it, Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens, Stefanski certainly an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough talent there, so you wonder, is it going to be one of those situations to where the talent outweighs the ability to prepare? I've wondered, and I think it's an interesting thing to watch. It's now Baker Mayfield. I mean, how many different head coaches has he had already? I mean, he's entering year three, and he's on his third head coach. I mean, there's a lot going on for Baker Mayfield there, so it's an interesting team to watch. They start off at the Ravens in week one, and then they do get a little bit of help because they get the Bengals on that short week in week two, which seems like that would be advantageous to the Browns. But yeah, Cleveland's going to be an interesting team to watch. Who's number three on your top four, Steve Fezzik's top four NFL teams he think could get off to a slow start?
Washington Redskins. In comes Ron Rivera and two new coordinators. And let's face it, having a young quarterback is not going to help that as well. So you've got Haskins starting at quarterback. I expect that the Redskins will not have enough time to get this ready come September.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Dwayne Haskins. I really do, because similar to what we were talking about with Baker Mayfield, Dwayne Haskins has got 9 starts and he's already on his third head coach. I mean, like, how does anybody think that a quarterback in the NFL, how does anybody think that a quarterback can have that much turnover, not even a full season in, and just, you know, be ready to go and be ready to function at a high level? And so I feel bad for Dwayne Haskins. I feel like he's been put in a tough spot. I think, you know, it's not as bad as Josh Rosen, but I just wonder if Haskins is ever going to get an opportunity to have his career really take off, because they went out and they traded for Kyle Allen, obviously for a reason. Ron Rivera coached Kyle Allen. He knows what he has in Kyle Allen. And I think the fact that he was brought in is an indicator that they don't believe and they don't think too highly of Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, no question about that. And frankly, as we're having this discussion, think about these teams. And if you're going to make a bet on these teams, I would encourage you to either pass the game or look to bet against that team early on, which brings me to my number two team, New York Giants. So in comes Joe Judge, unproven coach. He's going to be the head coach. Garrett takes over, offensive coordinator, and they bring in a new DC, another young quarterback in Daniel Jones that's going to have to go ahead and learn to work with the new coaching staff. I just don't think there's going to be enough time. So in games like this early in the year for the Giants, I know they're hosting Pittsburgh week one, and those are games that I would only look towards fading the Giants. In this case, it would be Pittsburgh minus 3.5 or pass the game.
And they kind of have a sneaky, rough schedule to start out the year because they've got Pittsburgh week one, and then they're at Chicago. I mean, we have no idea what the Bears could look like at that point. I know you're not big on them, but that is a road game, and the Giants did lose there this past season. And then they've got the 49ers who were just in a Super Bowl, and then they've got road games against the Rams and the Cowboys. So, I mean, that's not an easy schedule early on for a first-year head coach. And Daniel Jones, who's trying to learn a brand new offense based on the one that Jason Garrett's bringing over from Dallas.
Yeah, so to summarize, we are fading early in the year, looking to bet against four NFL teams with brand new coaching staffs. So the number four team was Cleveland Browns, number three team Washington Redskins, number two New York Giants, and number one on the list, the Carolina Panthers. And I think of all these teams, I think Carolina is most up against it. Matt Rhule comes in from Baylor. He brings with him Phil Snow, defensive coordinator at Baylor with limited NFL experience, new offensive coordinator Joe Brady from LSU, and a brand new quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. With all of those new faces and a rebuilding Carolina team, I think Carolina is going to struggle mightily this year, and I think they're going to drop their first game hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Line currently pick them in that game.
Yeah, I Carolina's offseason has been a little bit confusing. It felt like they were just ready to turn over the roster and start rebuilding, and then they go out and they gave Teddy Bridgewater a bunch of money, and then they've gone out and they've signed guys in the offseason, and you're just looking around, and then they give Christian McCaffrey that big monster contract, and I'm trying to figure out what the plan is. Is it a rebuild, or are you really trying to get better as a team by some of these free agent acquisitions? Luke Kuechly's gone. Greg Olsen's gone. You know, you made a trade. An offensive lineman was sent away, and most people feel like the Chargers got the better of that trade as well too. It's a very bizarre. Cam Newton gone. It's a very bizarre offseason for Carolina. So I would agree with you. I'm not high on Carolina. We talked about that yesterday. So to recap, your top four, one through four, four teams you would look to fade early on in the season in the NFL are:
number one team to fade is Carolina, number two New York Giants, number three Washington Redskins, and number four Cleveland Browns.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.